Okay, today's daf is Arachin daf Yud Zayin. We left off on daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis. We are at Omer Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara is going to first discuss today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. And we again thank Dr. Landerer very much for the sponsorship. The Gemara is going to discuss how I know that a person is supposed to go into the same business that his family is in. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Yisurin. What would count as Yisurin? What kind of suffering would qualify as Yisurin? What kind of message should a person assume is being sent if he doesn't suffer any Yisurin? And then the parak is going to conclude with a little bit about the relationship between a generation and that generation's leadership. And then, Be'ezrus Hashem, we will begin the fourth parak of Maseches Arachin, and we're going to talk about when a person takes a neder or an erech vow using someone else, meaning I'm going to give the erech of that person or the damim of that person. So how do we make the assessment? Do we make the assessment based on the person who takes the vow or based on the person the vow was taken about? Specifically when it comes to one of them being poor and the other one being rich, do we assume that the special dispensations we have for poor people is based on the person taking the vow or the person that the vow is going to be about? And then the Gemara is going to compare this to the halachas of Mitzora, of the karbonos of the Mitzora, and then Be'ez Hashem, the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about if a person was poor and then became rich before payment time came, so now do we up the payment, or he was rich and then he became poor, do we lower the payment? What if he was rich and poor and rich, or poor and rich and poor? Right, he went back and forth. So we're going to discuss all of that. Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. So let's begin at Tez Zayinam Beis Ez Gemara Am Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin Shalei Yishana Adam Me'um Manasa Me'umanus Avosav. How do I know that if a person or his father had a particular umanus, he should not trade it and do something else? Because every uman has people who know that avoda and will buy dafka by him. They have loyal customers. So the longer a person is involved in a certain umnus, the stronger his customer base is going to become, and memela, the child will have an easier time slotting in to the parents' business. That's how the Ben Yoyada explains the value of doing this. Furthermore, he says, "Biderach klal, umnin davin that they should be matzliach, that their children should be matzliach, and their children's children should be matzliach in their umnus." So the tefilos of the avos will also help him. Furthermore, says the Ben Yoyada, since he saw his father doing this umnus at a very young age, so he's likely to be better at it. He's more equipped to do it because it's sort of something that he grew up with. If his father was a carpenter, so he always saw carpentry going on. He has a basic idea of how to run things. It's a question: do you say the same thing by Rabbanim that the children should yarshin their father's Rabbanus because they grew up in rabbinic households, things of that nature? I actually just did a headlines podcast about children of Rabbanim and what their what the sacrifices they have to make are and what the value, the extra the benefits are, I guess you could say, of being the children of Rabbanim. Not for now, but anyway, so says the Gemara, how do I know that a person should go into the umnus of his family? Shenemar, because the pasuk says when Shlomo Melech wanted to make claim nechoshes for the Beis HaMikdash, it says Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo Vayikach HaSechira Mitzor Ben Isha Almana Humi Matei Naftali Va'aviv Ich Sori Choresh Nechoshes. And the puzzle goes on and says, Vayimali Asachachma Vesatvuna Vesadas Asos Kolmalach Banachoshes Vayaval Mel Shlomo Vayasas Kolmalachto, that he hired the right man for the job, Vyomer Mar, Ime Mi Beis Dan, that the mother of Chiram, who was so good, so skilled at Nechoshes, his mother was from Shevet Dan, because the puzzle says, in Divrei Hayamim Beis, that there was a man who was a Ben Isha min Benos Dan, and his father was an Ish Tzori who knew how to handle gold and silver and Nechoshes and Barzel and Avadim and Eitzim and Argamon and Tchelis and Butz and Carmel and Lefateach Kol Pituach and to make all the Machsheves Hasheinosinlo im Chachmasa v'chachnei Adoni David Avicha. Right, that's the Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, by those who were also Melech Samishkan during the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, So you see, the people of Shevet Dan were used to this umnus of making kelim. So Chiram, who was from Tzur, continued in the family business. And you see from there, the value of continuing in the family business. The diuk over here is from the fact that the pasuk feels the need to be miyachis chiram to Shevet Dan through his mother, and it doesn't just say where his father was from. His father was Shevet Naphtali. It must be that the reason we want to be miyachis and through his mother, the Marsha points out, is to show that's where he got this skill from. The Chaknasan just adds that the Gemara learns from this maisa that a person should not even be mishana meumnas. That not only Miumnas Aviv, but Imosav as well, because Chirim's father was Osa Malach bin Choshes. No, so he's, what does he point out? That his father was also Malach bin Choshes, because the pasuk says Va'aviv Ish Tzuri Yodea Las B'Zav because Mechoshes Barzel. So he wasn't Mishana Miumnas Avosav. Avosav is what the Gemara says that he was from Shevet Dan. Aliyav ben Achisamach was from Shevet Dan. So, okay, meaning his father really was from Shevet Dan. It wasn't only his mother, but I guess his father on his mother's side. I'm not sure exactly how that plays out. So, okay, so now the Gemara says that there are certain averos that, meaning we already said there are certain averos that bring about tzara'a. So the Gemara explains what is the minimum that could happen to a person that we would still label that inconvenience in his life as yisurin. Ad hechan tachlis yisurin. What is the minimal amount that you would still label as yisurin? Amr Blazer called if a person went to get a custom-made suit and it doesn't fit him perfectly, that's called yisurin. Mask of la ravazi iravi itema Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani gedolim yisurin. I can tell you even a bigger chiddush. Even something less than that is called yisurin. Afilu niskavnu limzog bechamin umazgulo betzonein. Even if he wanted to dilute his wine with hot water and they did with cold water or betzonein umazgulo bechamin or vice versa, the at amrit kulei. And you say that only if he had a custom-made suit made and it doesn't fit him correctly, only that's yisurin. So Marbri, the Ravina Amar Afilu Nepach Lo Chaluko. Even if he just put on his shirt inside out by accident, now he's got to take it off to put it right side in. That's also yisurin. Rav Avi Itema Rav Chista Avi Itema Rav Yitzchak Varmin Lo Masni Satana Afilu Hoshit Yado Lakis Litol Shalosh Valabi Yado Shaim. Even if he sticks his hand into his wallet to take out 3 coins and only 2 coins come out, that also would be labeled as yisurin. It's interesting we say 3 and 2 and not 2 and 1, because normally if it's just 1 you'd be able to tell the difference between 2 and 1. So that's pashtos of why we give that example. Then the other explains litol shalosh val biyado shtayim dafka shalosh val biyado shtayim shtayim val biyado shalosh lo delekatirch lemishtayim. But if he wanted 2 and he got 3, then that's not really yisurin, because it's very easy to just put 1 back. But if you to reach back into the pocket to get an extra one out, that's considered yisurin already. But kol kach lama, these shitos that we mentioned as far as the minimum amount of yisurin, lamaynaf kamina, meaning why do I need to know what's called yisurin? For the following reason. Tani the Rabbi Shmuel kol sha'avra lav arba'im yom below yisurin ki belo lamo, that a person who goes 40 days without suffering yisurin, it's as if he was mekabel his schar in olam hazeh, and therefore he's not going to receive olam haba. So if you go 40 days without suffering anything too bad, but just one of these things, don't worry, you're still okay for olam haba. B'marava amri in Eretz Yisrael, they said that if a person goes 40 days without yisur, peronus mizdamenus lo, then he's going to suffer something. Something big is coming. Tanya, Reb Elazar HaGadol omer, il molei ba kodesh baruch l'mavram yitzchak v'yakov badin, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have treated Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov with Midas Hadin and not with Midas HaRachamim, they never would have been able to withstand the limelight. They never would have been able to withstand the spotlight that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have shown on them. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in the times of Shmuel and Avi, when the Jewish people wanted a melech, and Shmuel was saying, hey, you don't need a melech, and it's not right to ask for a melech, va'ato es yatzvu v'yishavta, Ifchem lefnei Hashem is kol tzidkos Hashem asher asa itchem ve'esavoseichem. The extra ve'esavoseichem tells us that's a reference to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So Hashem did a tzedakah even with avoseichem. Even they required Hashem's tzedakah, Hashem's rachamim. Even they couldn't withstand Hashem's strict midas hadin. The Orachayim HaKadosh in Devarim Perek Lamed Gimel quotes this Gemara, and he says we see from here that whatever tzaddikim have in Olam Hazeh is only something that they're able to get mikoach harachamim. It's not something that they get mikoach Melech Adin. He says that's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Berakuf Mem Gimel, Va'al Tavo B'Mishpat Azavdecha, Ki Lo Yitzdak Lefanecha Kol Chai. That no one, Kol Chai, can't withstand your divine justice. And Kol Chai means even a tzaddik who is Chai. Chai means tzaddikim afil b'misasim are nekra'im chayim, the Gemara in Brachos tells us. So that's what Kol Chai is, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with Mishpat, then no one will be able to withstand it. He says, based on that, when the Torah calls Moshe Rabbeinu an Ish HaElokim, Elokim is Keneged Midas Hadin. So he's trying to say Moshe Rabbeinu is the only exception. He's the only one that can withstand Midas Hadin. But everybody else, even the Avos HaKadoshim, require Midas HaRachamim. Now that is an interesting idea that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says. Rav Elchanan has a Maimer in Kovitz Ma'amarim where he discusses whether tzaddikim need Midas HaRachamim or they could survive Al Pi Midas Hadin. The Gemara Maseches Menachos tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see Dor Dor V'Dor Shav. He wanted to see all of the future generations. And of course, Baruch Hu showed him Rabbi Akiva. And he was so blown away by the Chachma of Rabbi Akiva, by the Yediyas HaTorah of Rabbi Akiva, he didn't even understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying in his classroom. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, now let me see the schar that such a man gets. What kind of death is he going to die? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the horrible Yisurin that Rabbi Akiva suffered. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zu Torah v'zu schara, with such Torah, that's the schar that he gets. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Shtok. That's what was Allah b'machshava lefanai. So the Shlach Kadosh says, what does it mean, kach Allah b'machshava lefanai? That the Gemara tells us, and the Medrash tells us, rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, initially when he wanted to create the world, wanted to create it with only Midas Hadin. But he saw that Eino Allah miskayim, so he's mishtatif Midas Harachamim together with Midas Hadin. So what the Ribbono Shel Olam was saying was, Kachal Machshav Lefanai, I'm treating Rabbi Akiva with Midas Hadin, because very, very rarely a tzaddik comes along who's able to withstand Midas Hadin. And it's always better to be able to survive in this world with Midas Hadin than Midas Harachamim, because that means that whatever schar you're going to get is not going to be Na'ma D'Kisufa. It's not going to be embarrassing. You will have really earned your place in Olam Haba. So Rabbi Akiva was treated with Midas Hadin. He was such a tzaddik that he could be treated with Midas Hadin. So says the Shlach HaKadosh. Rav Elchanan assumes that if Rabbi Akiva was treated with Midas Hadin, the Avos were also treated with Midas Hadin. And that's why Rav Elchanan assumes that even though a normal person has to have bitachon that Hashem will use his Midas HaRachamim on him, the Avos HaKadoshim did not have to have bitachon that Hashem will utilize his Midas HaRachamim, because he probably didn't. Meaning they were on such a level that he probably didn't use Midas HaRachamim. That l'chora is against this Gemara, and certainly against this Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Because here we're saying that it's only, even the Avos were only able to survive with Midas HaRachamim and not with Midas Hadin. Now the whole limud from the pasuk of here is the fact that it says ve'es avoseichem. The Marsha points out pashup shav in the pasuk is avoseichem refers to the entire generation that left Mitzrayim. It does not refer to the avos per se, but that's the additional level of interpretation that the Gemara is making in the pasuk. Vayit ze dor dorshav mevak shefanecha Yaakov sela. So the pasuk compares dor to dorshav. Dorshav means the leaders. So pligi bar Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya v'Rabbanan. It's machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya and the Rabbanan. Chad omar dor lefi parnas v'chad omar parnas lefi doro. Who fits who? Meaning, one opinion was that the leader is who he is, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides a generation that fits that leader. And the other opinion is, no, the generation is what it is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides a leader to fit that generation. L'may hilchasa, l'may nafkamina, ilay melamali, or not l'may nafkamina, but what's this even about? Ilay melamali yusa, if we're trying to say that it's about the maila of the dora and the parnas, the marsa, rimali dora, mali parnas, marsa, rimali parnas, and mali dora, that it's about the general quality of the leader and the general quality of the generation, that the machlokas is, whether it's if it's a great generation, they're going to have a great leader, or whether if it's a great leader, you'll have a great generation, but neither of those things is true, because it very often does not fit. Sometimes we have in history a great generation and a terrible leader, or a great leader and a terrible generation, because Ha'ika Tzidkia, Davamale Vidari Lohavamale. Tzidkia was a very great leader, but his generation was not very great. Vahayo Yakim de Lohavamale, Vidari Havamale, Yo Yakim Melech Yehuda was not such a great guy, but his generation was very great. Damar Yachim Shum Rav Shum Menichai. My Dixiv, what does the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu mean when it says, Beracious Mamluchus Yo Yakim Melech Yehuda? Why does the Torah call it Bereishis? This was, he was not the first king of Israel. So Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hachzir Zolim L'Sovavo. Hashem wanted to destroy the world and bring it back to how it was before Maisa Bereishis. Bishvil Yoyakim, because Yoyakim was such a Rasha. Bakimen Shenestakal B'doro Nesiash V'dayta. When Hashem saw the generation of Yoyakim, it calmed him down, and therefore he didn't destroy the generation. And when Hashem saw the generation of Tzidkio, he wanted to bring the world back to Sovavo. When he saw Tzidkio, it calmed him down because Tzidkio was such a tzaddik. So bottom line is, you see that the generation and the leaders don't necessarily match each other. So how can you make such a limud that whichever way you hold, whichever way it starts, whether it's the leader according to the generation or the generation according to the leader, it doesn't seem to be true. Now, we're not talking about tzaddik or rasha, we're talking about style of leadership. People who lead with an iron fist, people who are kapdanim, or people who lead in a much softer kind of way. And in that sense, it matches up with each other. Hadron halach yesh ba'arachin, and now we will begin, Bezras Hashem, the fourth parak of Meseches Arachin. So now, says the Mishnah, Heseg Yad Benoder, when it comes to how wealthy a person is in order to be able to pay the erech, you know, the erech commitment, so we assess it based on the noder, the person who takes the vow, not the person about whom the vow was taken. Vahashanim banidar, as far as determining the age of the person, because the age of the person is going to determine the erech, we look at the age not of the noder, but of the nidar. Vaharachin benerech, when it comes to arachin themselves, we always look at the person who the erech was said about. Va'erech bizman ha'erech, and we always look at the time that the erech vow was taken, not at the time that it is being paid. So now we explain what each of these things mean. Heseg yad benoder ketzad, ani she'erech es ha'ashir. If you have a poor man who took an erech vow about a rich person, meaning I'm going to pay the erech of this rich man, nosin erech ani. He only gives the erech of a poor man. Va'ashir she'erech es ha'ani. If a rich man takes an erech vow about a poor person, nosin erech ashir. He pays like a rich man would pay for an erech. Avol b'karbanos seinu kein. But that's not true when it comes to karbanos. Hare she'amar karbanos shel metzora zeh alai. If a person says, I'm going to take upon myself to pay for this guy's, this metzora's karbanos, hayu metzora ani, and the metzora himself was poor, maybe karban ani. Then if I'm paying for those karbanos, I also could pay for the kinds of karban that a poor man would bring. Ashir, if the mitzvah was rich, maybe carbon ashir. Then I would bring the kinds of carbonos that an ashir would bring. So because that's what he's chayiv, regardless of what I am. If the mitzvah was able to afford to buy animals, so anyone who says that he's going to pay on his behalf has to bring animals. He can't bring birds. He can't bring anything less. So you see, this is different than arachin, because if a poor man says that he's going to give the erech of a rich man, he only has to pay what a poor man would be obligated to pay, meaning we make special dispensations for the poor man. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe disagrees. Omer Ani, Rebbe is the only one that ever says Omer Ani, I think, in Shas. I think Rav Yosef Engel writes that it's a Lashon of Anivus, that it's, you know, it's not supposed to be read Omer Ani, I say, it's supposed to be read Omer Ani, I say. Omer Ani, af ba'arachin kein. That in the case of arachin, it's also the same. V'chim epnei ma'ani sh'arich es ha'ashir nosin arachani. Why is it that if a poor person takes the vow of a rich, to give the arach of a rich man, does he pay according to his own wallet? She'ein ashir chayev klum. Because the rich man has no chiv whatsoever. Aval ashir sha'amar erki alai. But if a rich man says, I'm going to pay my own arach, and then Vishama Ani Va'omer, and Ani hears and he says, Mash Omer Zeh Alai, what that guy said, I'm going to do that too. Then Nosin Erech Ashir, then he has to pay the Erech of an Ashir. Meaning when there actually is a Chiyuv on the Ne'erach, And the and then another ma'arich comes and says and sort of latches on to that chiyuv, then he has to give the chiyuv of the amount of money that the ne'erach would have to give. So first the Gemara just questions the wording of our Mishnah. Heseg yad b'ma'arichu. We said that we said heseg yad b'noder in our Mishnah, that based on the noder's ability to pay, that's how we assess what he has to pay for the erach. But it should really say b'ma'arich, because this is not about nedarim, this is about arachin. Yeah, but we're just using the lashon of the pasuk. So even though it's about a ma'arich, we're using the lashon of the pasuk, which uses the lashon of noder. And then we went on to say that the hashanim banidar, but also banerachu. It's not a nidar. The years are assessed based on an arachin thing, because there is no factor of years when it comes to a neder. It's only when it comes to an erach. So why does it say in the Mishnah banidar? So Idamar hasigad benodar amanami hashanim banidar. It's because once the first line said hasigad benodar, even though it means the ma'arich, so the next few words hashanim banidar also refers to the ne'erach. So the Mishnah said when it comes to determining the what he could afford by the noder, so what's the case? That if a poor person says he's going to give the erech of an ashir, he only has to pay of the erech of a rich man, he only has to pay the way a poor man would pay. My time, what's this based on? Damakra asher tasig yad hanoder. Benoder talo rachmana, that the Torah itself links it to the noder, the person taking the neder. And that person, if he's poor, will only have to pay like a poor man. Avol b'karbonos ein hakein. But the Mishnah said when it comes to karbonos, it doesn't work that way. Haresha amar karbonos shal mitzora zeh alive. The person says, I'm going to pay for the karbonos of that mitzora. Hay mitzora ani. If the mitzora was poor, maybe karbonos. It doesn't matter how rich I am, I could pay for the karbanos of a poor man. The avlgav de mediro ashir. The Mishnah seems to be saying that even though the one who takes the neder about the poor mitzora is himself a rich person, that he's only going to have to pay a poor man's karbanos. The imdalhu amarachmana. But the pasuk said that if he's poor, then he's allowed to bring a lesser karbano. Velo dalhu. But over here, the person who took the neder, the person who agreed to pay, is not a dal. He is not poor. So why does he only bring the karban of the poor person? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kishahaya madiro ani. Now we have to interpret the Mishnah a little bit differently. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the person who took the neder about the mitzora was poor. So the Mishnah is only teaching me that if the mitzora was poor and the person taking the neder was poor, then you can get away with paying the karban of a poor person. V'dilma alei didei chas rachmana. But wait a second. Maybe only when the mitzora himself is paying for his karbanos does the Torah have rachmanas on him. Amadirolo. But maybe if some other guy decides to take a neder, the Torah has no rachmanas and he has to pay the full expensive price. Daksiv hu. Because after all, it says who. It says if he is poor, which implies that only if the mitzora is poor do you get to pay the cheaper karbanos. So Ravad Barava, the Ein Yodu Maseges, L'Rabu, says another. But the pasuk goes on to say another phrase, the Ein Yodu Maseges. And that teaches me that even the Noder is included in that halacha. So I ask the Gemara, is that really pshat in the Mishnah? Aval Madiro, Ashir Achinami, Demaisi Bashirus. Do you mean to tell me that if an Ashir comes and says that I'm going to pay for the karbanos of that Mitzora, and the Mitzora happens to be poor, that he still has to pay for the expensive karbanos? Imkein, my avol b'karbanos ein imkein. If that's the case, then what contrast is the Mishnah making? The Mishnah is obviously trying to contrast arachin and nedarim. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak's way of understanding the Mishnah, there is no contrast, because in both cases, if the guy taking the neder is a rich guy, he has to pay a rich man's payment. So in what way is there a difference between nedarim and arachin? So the Gemara says, you know what? Rabbi Yitzchak really is correct that if the guy taking the neder is an ashir and the mitzora is an ani, you got to pay for the rich karbanos, for the karbanos of a rich man, and on that level, it's the same exact rule as arachin. What then is the difference between arachin and nedarim? Chada amitzara ani umadiro ani. So the first case in the Mishnah is talking about where the mitzara was poor and the guy who took the neder was poor. V'chada lemuti mitzara asher madiro ani. And the other case in the Mishnah comes to exclude a case and in this sense differentiate between tzara'as and arachin. In what case, when the mitzvah is rich and the person who takes the neder about him is poor. When it comes to arachin, you pay a poor man's karban, you pay for a poor man's erech. But when it comes to mitzvah, if a poor person says he's going to pay the karbanos of a rich person, he actually has to pay the karbanos of a rich person. And that's where they veer from each other. It's dafka and that halacha. So in a case where it's mitzora ani and the madir is an ani, then the halacha is going to be the same by nedarim and arachin. But in the case where the mitzora is an ashir and the madir is an ani, that's where they're different. So why does the Mishnah have to tell me that a poor person who took a neder to bring the karbanos of a rich mitzora has to bring the karbanos of a rich mitzora, because al kadai dechaminu hol v'yisrabu v'yisrabu. I might have thought that since we include the person who takes the neder in the heter of paying a cheaper karban in one case, meaning in the case where the mitzora is poor, that we would also apply the same halacha even if the mitzora is rich, because after all, the person who's paying for it is poor. So kamash milan. That's why the Mishnah has to tell me that even though if a poor person says he's going to pay for a poor mitzora's karbanos, he could pay a poor man's karbanos, but if a poor person says he's going to pay a rich mitzora's karbanos, he's got to pay a rich man's karbanos. Another possibility why we would have a havamina, that a poor person who says he's going to bring the karbanos of a rich person can bring a poor person's karbanos, lefisha mitzinu ba'arachin, because you have such a thing by arachin, ani sherech esashir nosin erech ani, that if an ani commits to give the erech of another man who's an ashir, he only pays the erech of an ani. So yachlav zekin, I might think that the same should therefore be true by committing to pay for someone else's karbanos of mitzora as well. Tamalomar im dal hu. That's why the pasuk says that if he is poor, the word who, if he, that tells me that it's only the mitzvah, the heter to pay for a poor man's karbanos is only the mitzvah himself, not the person who's paying for his karbanos. Well, the Rebbe, the Omer, Omer Aniyaf Barachim Kain, and according to Rebbe, who says that even arachin, the same is true. Rebbe holds that the case of arachin is very similar to the case of mitzora, in that each one accepts to pay some sort of obligation of the other person, and the halacha is therefore going to be equivalent. So if a poor person takes a neder to give the erech of a rich man, to give the erech that a rich man had already taken upon himself. Meaning a rich man said, I'm going to give my own erech. And then a poor man says, oh yeah, me too, I'll also give the same thing. He has to pay the erech of a rich man. So Alma basar chiyuv de gavra azlinan. So according to Rebbe, apparently we follow the chiyuv of the guy himself who originally made the erech vow. So if that person was rich and he became obligated in his own rich man's erech, so a poor man who latches onto that also has to pay a rich man's erech. Then we don't need any pasuk to exclude the case of a mitzora from the halacha of erechin, because in both the case is going to be the same in both situations. In both erechin and mitzora, if a poor man is mechayiv himself in an obligation that already exists on the rich man, he has to pay the full amount. He has to pay the rich man's amount. Who lemutemai? So then, what is who come to exclude? What is the word who coming to teach me? So says Gemara, lemuute mitzora ani umadiro ashir. It comes to exclude a case where the mitzora himself is poor. The person taking the neder to pay for the mitzora is rich. So sal kadei techamina holva amar Rebbe basar chiyuv de gavra azlinan. I might have thought that since Rebbe holds, we go with the obligation of the person who made, who originally was chayiv, so it should therefore mean that if a poor mitzora is being covered by a rich guy who's going to take in, who's going to cover his karbanos, then the rich guy would only have to bring the poor man's karban. So kamashulam. That's why the Torah says, "Tell me who." That only if he is poor, only if the mitzora is poor, can he bring a poor person's offering. But if a guy who's rich is bringing those karbanos, then he has to bring a rich man's karbanos. So bottom line is, we have a machlokas over here. What to do with the word who between Rebbe and the Rabbanan? File that away for later, because that's going to be important. New mission now. Hayani v'hashir. If the person who took the nether was poor at the time that he made the erech, they committed to the erech, and then he became rich before he paid it, or vice versa, asher v'hani. No sin erech asher. Either way, he has to give the erech of a rich person. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu ani v'hashir, v'chazer v'hani. The hani, even if he was poor, became rich, and then became poor again, no sin erech asher, because in between he was rich, he still has to pay the erech of a rich man. But that is not true when it comes to karbanos. When it comes to arachin, he's rich if at any time along the line he's rich. When it comes to mitzora, if he was rich and then became poor, or poor then became rich, he's always judged based on the time that he's actually bringing the karbanos. We're going to see that there's going to be a machlokas tonight, which karban is the time that we look at to determine everything, but it definitely relates to the time that he brings karbanos. It's a matter that we're going to have three shittos as far as which karban, but it's definitely about bringing karbanos. And then the Mishnah goes on to say another kula about arachin. Afilu meis aviv yiniach lo ribo. A man's father died, and he left him ribo, 10,000 zuz. Osvinas v'yam u'bal lo b'ravuos. Or his ship was out at sea, meaning not the father died, but this man had a very expensive ship that was out at sea, and it was coming with loads and loads of money. He just doesn't have access to it right now. Ein lehektish ba'klum. The hektish has no taina on it. It has no way to make a claim on this. So this we're going to have to see in tomorrow's daf. What in the world this is talking about? This is not just a continuation of what the Mishnah was talking about up until this point about arachin and mitzora. It's a totally separate halacha related to arachin. Meaning, it's about arachin, and just in general, do we look at what he has access to right now, or do we look at, you know, what he will have access to? You know, he has a trust fund or something that he doesn't have access to for a while. So how do we view that? Okay, but first the first couple of halachos that appeared in the Mishnah. Ani v'hashir. So we said if a guy was poor and he took an erech vow and then he became rich before he paid it up, he gives the erech of a rich person. Why? Asher tasig yad hanoder. Because the pasuk says whatever the noder can afford to pay. So if he's now able to afford to pay the full amount, that's what he's got to pay. Asher v'hani. If he was rich and now he's poor, he also has to give the erech of an asher. Why? Al pi asher tasig, that which he's able to pay, meaning even if he was only able to pay at the time that he took the neder, even though right now he's not really able to pay that amount of money. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu ani v'ashir v'chazer v'hani, no sin erech ashir. Even if sometime in between he became a rich man, he gives the erech of an ashir. My time in Rabbi Yehuda, why would that matter? If he was not a rich man at the time that he committed the erech, and he was not a rich man at the time that he's paying the erech, why does it matter that he was rich in between? Because Amar Kra, the pasuk says, "V'im machu me'er kecha." If he's too poor for the erech, what does that mean? Machu, the word who? Ad shehei b'machuso mitzklos avat sofo. He had to be poor constantly from the beginning until the end, and only then does he get away with paying a lesser amount for the erech. But if at any time he was rich in between, he has to pay the greater amount. Says the Gemara, Helameata, if that's true, that whenever it says the word who, it means that it was consistent from beginning to end, and it's about, you know, and that word who is telling me about when you can get away with paying a cheaper karban or a cheaper erech vow. So by karbanos of mitzora, we should say the same thing with the word who. Pasuk by karbanos of mitzora talks about how a mitzora who can't afford it pays less. V'im dal who? It says if he is dal. Hachinami achi bedalus mitchilas v'atzofo. Does that also mean to say that the mitzora has to be poor beginning to end? V'chitei machinami. I know you're going to try to say, yeah, he only gets to pay the cheaper karban if he was poor beginning to end.
Not true. Vatanan, we have a Mishnah. Mitzara shevi karbanos of Anivash, here if Mitzara brought his karbanos when he was poor, and then he became rich. Or Ashir Veheni, he brought his karbanos when he was rich, and then he became poor. Hakol halichachachatas. What's koveya his status is how rich was he when he brought the chatas. Divrei Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hakol halichachar asham. No, it's koveya his status is when he brings the korban asham. V'tanya, Rabbi Lazman Yaakov Omer, Hakol halichachar tziparim. What's koveya his status when he brings the bird is when he brings the birds. So we see that according to all three of these tanaim, what's koveya his status in terms of whether he's an asher or an ani is according to a very specific time, whichever time it is, whichever korban it is. None of them say that he has to have been poor from beginning to end. He only had to be poor at a specific time, at the time of this carbon, that carbon, or the other carbon, but it's only at a specific time, not from beginning to end. So, but it says the word who, and doesn't who imply from beginning to end? Says the Gemara, Ha'itmar Allah, no, Amar Avidom Rav, Ushlashen Mikra Echadarshu. All three Tanaim came to their conclusions based on the same exact pasuk. So even though normally the word who implies beginning to end, when it comes to Mitzora, there's another pasuk that seems to tell me not to apply the word who in that way. Why? Because the pasuk says Asher lo tasig yado b'tahara so. So that means Rav Shimon Savar davar hamechaper, that the pasuk is referring to that which provides him. Now, which provides him with kapara, because the pasuk right before it spoke about the kapara, so it's the juxtaposition of the two. Rashi explains that of the kapara in the previous pasuk and asher lo tasig yado in this pasuk, that his wealth status is determined by kapara, by the time of kapara. Mind you, and what is the kapara? Chatos. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, davar machshir, that the pasuk is telling me that which is machshir him determines his wealth status. Umaynihu, what's machshir him? That's asham. That's asham. Mitzoru, who is poor at the time that he's mitar himself, brings a poor person's karban, even if he later became rich. The tara of a mitzora is bringing the asham, so that's what it's all about. That which is machshir him, that which is mitayir him, the karban asham. Rav Lezman Yaakov Savar, hagorim lo tahara. No, it means that which causes his tara, my new tziparim, and that's referring to the birds that he brings, because he's not allowed to shave unless the birds were already done. So that's where, you know, when the absolute Tahara is finally over. Okay, that's great. So you have this other pasuk that tells me to ignore the normal mashmaus of the word who. Normally, the mashmaus of the word who means mitchas v'atzofo. Okay, but over here you have another pasuk. However you want to interpret it, three different possibilities that it's not mitchas v'atzofo. It's about a specific time. But then, what do you do with the word who that it says by a mitzora? So says Gemara. Oh, you have to remember the machlokas we had earlier. Le Rebbe kedeis le l'rabbanan. The word who is how Rebbe taught it before, that it tells me that if there's a rich person who says he's going to bring karbanos for a poor mitzora, well, he's allowed to bring the karbanos of the cheaper karbanos, and the Rabbanan used it to tell me, the word who, to tell me that if a poor person says he's going to bring the karbanos of a rich mitzora, that he's excluded from the heter, which would allow him to bring a poor karban. Say it again. No, how does it go? No, the other way. Not the other way, but like this. That Rebbe would say, would use the word who to say that when a rich man says he's going to bring a poor mitzora's karbanos, he does not get to pay a poor karban. And the Rabban would say that when a poor man says he's going to bring a rich mitzora's karbanos, he does not get to bring a poor man's karbanos. So that means he does not get to bring a poor level of karbanos. So that's what each one derived from the word who, and that's why the word who over here is not used to teach me mitchilaso, the ad sofo. So the Gemara says, wait a second, el me'ata, but still, if the word who in general means mitchilaso v'ad sofo, v'hu eid, when the pasuk says that v'hu eid, that he is a witness, actually kasher mitchilas v'ad sofo, does that mean in order for someone to be kasher, to be made about something, he has to have been kasher through and through the entire time without ever becoming pasul in between? Let's say I saw testimony, I knew the testimony before I became a son-in-law of this guy, before I became related to this guy, and then
Asachasanu, and then you became his son-in-law, or Pikeach v'nischaresh, Pasuach v'nistama, Shafu v'nishtata, Hareza Pasul. You know what? This is a much longer question, so this is going to go into tomorrow's daf. So Be'ez Hashem, maybe again, we'll pick up from Elamei Ata, five lines from the bottom, Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow.